This morning we'll talk about fellowship. I know that we went through a study just recently about fellowship. And I don't know why I'm doing another one, but it just felt like I was being led to do a thing on fellowship. And where we're going to be first, we're going to go right through. I got not that much to go through, so it will be done early, unless I stammer and stumble. And please forgive me for my reading, because I don't read very well. But anyways, Genesis 3, 8 through 11. The thing with being in Genesis is I feel like the Lord has given us his book, but everything in his book, all the way through, it shows fellowship, why it's needed, and that our Lord had fellowship, Jesus had fellowship, and he sent his disciples out in twos to have to be fellowship, and the reason why, I guess. So, let's see. Genesis 3, I'm not even there. I picked the wrong tab. Sorry. Huh. 8 through 11. And they heard this is in the garden after Eve had convinced Adam, to eat of the fruit that the Lord has told him not to eat from. So, and we all know that God made man, and he found that it was good, but he needed a helpmate. He needed somebody for fellowship, for love, for support. So he put Adam into a sleep and took a side of him and created Eve. So with that, you have Adam, you have Eve, and you have Christ or God then, And so that's three, right? So where two or more are gathered, there God is with you, in his name. So I think that's the basis right there of fellowship. I think that's, and in the very beginning, God made it that way. So here we go. And they heard the sound of the Lord's walking through the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees in the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "Here I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I know I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat from?" So in the, I guess I went through that whole thing to show you that in this, it shows that God used to walked with Adam and Eve. They walked, and in the coolness of the day, because it wasn't a surprise to him. It wasn't a surprise to Adam that God was there hollering to him. He actually was hiding because he knew God was going to be coming in the cool of the day to walk and talk with him, And that's what that stood out to me. It's like it wasn't like this huge, that God was huge and scary and, No, he wasn't. He walked with them, just like you and I would walk, And they fellowshipped. So that's the first part of why I think fellowship is so important. I think, God started right at the beginning. And all the way through, you'll find it. So Genesis 12, I guess, is the next one. Genesis 12, 1 through 4. You can tell I did as very little reading as I have to. And I'm sorry for that, but I don't do well. So 1 through 4. This thing is not. Now the Lord had said to Abram. Oh, okay. Just to start this. Abram had chosen a wife and was Sarai, and the God's going to send him out from there, from his homelands, from his parents' place, because he wanted to bless him. He wanted the seed of Abraham to populate the whole earth, basically. Anyways, this is where he gets his command to go. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions, and they gathered and the people who they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. I started where I wasn't supposed to. Sorry. Let's start back up. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of this country from your family and from the father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation and bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All right, for Abraham required it as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So what I gathered reading that, it was just like, oh, I don't see where the huge fellowship thing was. But in that, he took Lot with him. Now, Lot wasn't his. It was his brother's son. And not only that, he had his family traveling with him, everything. He required a lot. But what I saw was he took Lot. Lot was somebody he was discipling, say. It was somebody that he wanted with him, to encourage him, to bless him, to grow him. And further on, in this, is they come to a point where they had so many possessions that it was hard to keep them together. It was, they have herdsmen for one herdsman for the other, and they're quarreling because there's just too much. Some's coming over to feed somewhere else, and they're intermingling, and it's hard to keep them apart. So Abram told him, look, we're going to separate. You're gonna choose. Lot, choose right or left, right? So if you go right, I'll go left, and we'll go where our herds can gather and be without running into one another. But in that, he said why he did that, because he looked at Lot as a brother, as his brother, and Okay, right here in 8, it says, so Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between our herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. All right? And I understand that brethren means family line, but I look at it as he left there with fellowship. And there comes a point in your life where like Jim and I met a long time ago. We started going to church, same church together. We did Bible studies together. Our families became basically, I thought, one. I loved his family. His family loved ours. We did a lot of things together. But Jim left. Jim needed to take his family and go grow somewhere else, and do his own thing. And I stayed. But when Jim and I, just because we didn't see each other, doesn't mean that departed, that feeling for each other departed. And every time that we actually got together, it was like he had never left, or You know, it was, we just picked up right where it left off. And to me, that's just, that's koinonia. That's, God does that. You know, you can not see someone for a long time, but you're still joined because of your relationship with Christ, because his family and his family's focus was on God. My family and my family's focus was on God. So it brought us together, even though we weren't, okay? And that's what I feel, and I can't back this up, but I feel that's what was going on with Lot and Abram, okay? They got to separate. That doesn't mean that their love for one another has diminished. So their fellowship was still there. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4. 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4. All right. Let's see if I can do this one right. Now, when he had finished speaking, when David first went out to battle against the Philistines. He was a young man, you know, and he's on his way back. That's when Saul was the ruler, and Saul saw David coming back from battle. I think it was probably the first time that they were to meet. And Saul was wanting to know who this boy was. And actually he probably was still a young man or boy, you know. This is when Saul saw David. And now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knitted to Saul to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him, would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Now Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, even his sword and the bow that he was, and his belt. So basically, after Saul found out who David was and found out what he did in this battle, he wanted him as underneath him. All right. So, but it was Saul's son that really joined to David. And David was, I see David as a typical 18, 19-year-old, you know, basically in good shape, you know, and like we all were at 18 years old, didn't think anything could hurt us, you know, and had, let's get him type attitude, you know. And I don't think Jonathan was. Jonathan, I think later on it tells about Jonathan having some infirmity, or I think, but I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But anyway, so their souls were knitted together, and that's koinonia. That's the relationship, the fellowship. And you'll see if you read further on, it tells about everything that Jonathan did to help David, because Saul turns against him and all this stuff, you know. So it's the fellowship of Jonathan and David that helps David through it all right? And in the end, David is to help Jonathan's family. So let's go, what was this, 18? Let's go to 1 Samuel 23. Fifteen. 1 Samuel 23, 15 to 18. So that David saw, So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Zeph in the forest, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. You know, David was hiding from Saul. Saul's son went out to help him. Went out to build him up, to reinforce him, you know, in the hand of the Lord, going out and telling him, look, you know, God has chosen you. You're going to be my king. You're going to be ruler. And Saul knows it. Jonathan told him, look, Saul, my dad knows this, knows that you're going to be, you know, and there's nothing he can do to you. But that's not going to stop Saul from trying to do that, right? So he strengthened him in the words of God. He went out and reminded David that, look, this is how what God has said to us, said to you, you are going to be king. So you can't be king dead, you know? So he went out and strengthened him. That, and to me, that was just another form of fellowship, just another, that's what we all do. We get together. I know when I get with a brother that we, you know, you talk about things of life. You talk about, but you do it in a perspective, a godly perspective. You know, you don't throw, hey man, went out drinking last night, I had a really good time. You know, that used to be me years ago. You know, used to doesn't matter. Anyway, but then when I came to Christ, he took that from me. And I don't know how he did it. We had Jeremy, and then we had Ben. And when Ben was born, I felt like the Lord said, you know, alcohol is out of your life. Because I want to take this family to places that your first family couldn't, you know. And I was married before, had two kids, Brian and Mandy, but I lived in the world, and we as a couple did worldly things, all right. And I didn't know what a husband was supposed to be. I had no one that taught me. My dad and mom got divorced very young, you know, when I was like 9 years old, you know, and they both went and lived different lives, and it's just the way it is, you know. So I didn't have that man in my life that I respected to guide me, all right? So I didn't know how to do that to mine. I didn't know how to love my wife enough to control, not control her, but to keep her close, you know, and ended up in divorce. When I married Laurie, I was just starting to become a Christian. And then when we had Ben and Jeremy, we got married and had Ben and Jeremy and Ben, God said, you know, we're going to keep this family together. Do away with the alcohol, you know. Took a couple more things away from me. I struggled with a typical addiction, and I have fought that for years. And praise God, He's won. You know, for the most part, you know, but I was very upfront with my wife, my new wife, and I knew Christ could handle it. So when my wife come into my life, and she became a Christian, started reading and, you know, really seeking the Lord, we had fellowship, we had a marriage, for one thing, and we had fellowship. And in that fellowship, it opens up doors that a carnal marriage doesn't do, all right? It doesn't, and I have found, and this is all based on Ron Miller, you know, a little tour up from East Millinocket, okay? There was doors in my first life that I didn't go through, that I couldn't because I was more, you just don't, you know, but with a marriage in Christ, those doors are wide open. Those things are, you're to walk through anything with that person. You know, if you're hiding something from your wife, you know, I don't care if you're doing it for the simple fact of saving her some pain. If you're hiding something from your wife that typically can hurt your marriage, all right? If that door is open right at the beginning and you guys walk through it together, that's fellowship, that's what you need. That's you two handling something together. And that's with a marriage, that's with friendship, that's, you know, I know I have a couple of brothers that I can go to for anything. And they're not gonna go, oh, you are a complete jerk. I already know I'm a complete jerk, believe me. I don't need it to be told, but they're gonna lift me up. They're gonna support me. They're gonna, you know, they will also open up your mind enough to say, Ron, this is something that you and Laurie should be sitting down discussing, you know, even though I'm trying to run from it. Okay, you're getting the drift of fellowship. It's just not two people on the same ship, heading in the same direction. Well, it is in a way, but it's deeper than that. Fellowship is, and if you're, another thing, if you come to a church like our church and you just come in and sit down and not talk with other people, you're not going to get the benefit that Christ wants, why he wants you here for our fellowship. You know, you're to get with other people because you're going to strengthen them and they're going to strengthen you. If you're going through a really hard time and want to come in and just unload on somebody, that's not fellowship. That's you unloading on somebody. That's just you, you know, venting. That's all. There is a place for that. But if you want to come in here and discuss what's going on with you, and other people can help you discuss what they've been through and try to strengthen you in that, that's fellowship. Okay? But you coming in and unloading on somebody and just stealing their oxygen, that's not fellowship. That's venting. So we all got the idea. Probably beat this horse to death. I guess the last thing I want to talk to you about is it in the Bible that tells about where two or more are gathered. Two go out in the field. You know, you can get more work out of two. And if you took two people and separated them and let them go, they were separated, they were doing the same thing, you typically wouldn't get as much work out of them because they're by themselves and they have nobody to judge by and no one to work with. If you take two people, put them out in the field, do the same thing together, and their focus is on work, you'll get more done with those two than you would have those two apart. Do you see what I'm saying? So, and it says in another place that if two are together and one falls down, the other one helps him up, get up. If one's by himself and falls into a ditch, he might not be able to get out of it. All right. Another one is if two are together and they have to spend a night, they can be back to back or whatever and get warmth from one another, you know, in a manly way. And only if it's necessary, yeah, whatever. But you know, so that is another reason for two guys to be together, right? Or two people to be together. It says fellowship. It could be a man and a woman, but usually you're not gonna
lie down with a woman that's not your wife or for warmth. That doesn't work. All right. And then it says, in it that the two strands, the three strands, if you have one strand, it's easily broken, snap, you know, take a piece of thread sometime, and it's kind of funny. Take a piece of thread and break it, snap, you know, it'll snap. Take three pieces of thread, and where they get three, it says, because we're talking about two people, right? But where two are gathered in his name, he is there. Well, there's your third thread. So if you take those three threads, loop one like this, put the other one down through it, tie this end, and braid it. Now try to break it. It actually feels like you're going to cut your finger before it actually snaps, if you can snap it, you know. And that's three strands compared to one. And that is just what the Bible means, man. That's how strong three can be, or two can be with Christ, compared to you by yourself. So I hope I made my point. And it's in love that I'm telling you this, because we need fellowship. Don't be someone who thinks they can do it all on their own. You can do it all on your own, but it ain't good. It's not good for you. It's not good for anyone else. You know, I always find when I'm working with one of my brothers here or somewhere else, I go home happy. I go home, if I go out and have to work on a car by myself, I'm about ready to roll that thing over by the end of the day, you know, because I have no patience. But if Jim is there, he kind of knocks me down, you know, he kind of mellows me out, you know, and I let him do all the work. It's awesome, brother. That's how friendships work. Anyways, let's pray.